You mean having one service a week is like, you know, so you got to get so much in. But anyhow, Dabar Shalom to each and every one of you. See, that one word changes everything. Shalom. Making a decree based on the word of God in faith will bring results. See, when we decree something, you make sure that you're in faith when you say it. Because if you're decreeing it and you don't understand it and you don't really, you're just going to read it, then it doesn't do anything. It's that faith that puts it. It's like throwing one of those paper airplanes that goes, they don't go anywhere. If you know how to make one, it just goes and goes and goes. Different. And that's what we got to do with our decrees. We power them by faith. But in Isaiah 55, verse 11, the Lord said, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. When we decree forth God's word, it will accomplish and it will prosper in the thing that we sent it out for. But you're saying that's God's word. Well, that's what God gave us his word for, to use it and to speak it. If it worked for him, it'll work for you if you got faith behind it. Amen. That's why he gave us the Bible. Gave us his word. Well, let's make this declaration. Okay? Say, I am what my Bible says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Whatever God's word says, I believe it. I have it. It's mine. Hallelujah, it's mine. There it is. It's what your Bible says. Hallelujah. Well, do you believe this? Because you should. As it said in Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Well, we know the answer to that. I turn to Hebrews. Let me give you that here in the Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Okay, you're there. I'm going to go back on the page here, and I'll be there. There it is. We're going to look down to verse 13. Verse 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiply I will multiply you. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs, say, I'm an heir, of promise, yeah. the immutability of his counsel confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Two immutable things. What are they? His word and the oath. That's what it's talking about here in his counsel, his word. His word and his oath. Since God does not lie, and since God is all powerful, he will fulfill all his promises. Did you get that? All his promises. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 20. For all the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. The yes to all of God's promises are in Christ. Whew. Come on. Glory be to God, right? Okay, Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Psalm 103. We're going to look through verses 2 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Praise God, huh? That is exciting right there. But we are not to forget all his benefits. But there's five of them that are listed right here. He forgives all of our sins. He heals all our diseases. He redeems us from death and hell. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies us with good things. For all good things come down from the Father in heaven. So we have, he forgives, he heals, he redeems, he loves, he satisfies. Satisfies meaning to meet the expectations, needs, or desires of someone. So that our youth is renewed like the eagles. Say, my youth is renewed like the eagles. Yeah, you know, you guys are getting stronger when you're saying that because, see, you're starting to believe it when you say it. See, because an eagle represents vitality, strength, speed, power, energy, wholeness, health, greatness. Whew. Renewed like the eagles? Come on. So as our youth is renewed like the eagles, we'll be ready for any of the challenges put forth to us, and we will be able to put all our fears aside. That's right. Eagles aren't afraid. Hell, watch them birds. Whew. Hallelujah. See, we must think, speak, and decree words of life and health. Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. As Vicky even said, death and life are in the power of your tongue. That's what Proverbs 18:21 tells us. If we want to renew our youth like the eagles, we first must renew our minds to the Word of God and then think and speak words of life and health. See, I hear people say this all the time. I'm getting older, you know. The older I get, the more my bones creak and the more my joints pop. I'm not seeing as clearly as I used to. The older I get, the more forgetful I am. Do you ever find yourself saying some of those things? Well, every day we should be saying, my youth is renewed like the eagles. Yes, I am healthy and strong. Wait a minute. Whoa, whoa. Let's say that. Say that after. My youth is renewed like the eagles.
My youth is renewed like the eagles.
I am healthy and strong.
I am healthy.
My blood pressure is perfect. My cholesterol is low.
My A1C number is below a 5.
My thyroid functions perfectly.
My eyesight and hearing get better every day.
My memory is sharp.
I remember every detail.
That's what we should be saying. And then don't let yourself speak anything otherwise throughout the day. That's where the problem lies. You don't know when to be quiet. As Timmy said, when you don't know what to do, start praising God. Just start praising Him. Replace that. And guess what? Your thought life will straighten out.
That's right.
You will get, the negative will disappear and a positive will come.
Yeah.
And you'll find out you'll be able to defeat whatever's trying to come against you.
Right.
Physically, mentally, financially. You got it beat.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because in Proverbs 4, chapter 20, or verses 20 through 22. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. For they are what, Tim? What are they?
Health to all our flesh.
Oh, no. You missed it.
Life.
Missed it.
Life.
For they are life. They are life.
Yes, they are.
And what are they to your flesh now?
Health.
There you go. Amen. And that's what we got to do, is seek it out. That's what we'll find. We renew our minds with a fresh intake of God's word as we read, meditate,
right,
speak, and decree it.
Right.
Every day and every night, see? You can go to sleep decreeing God's word.
That's right.
And you'll find out you have sweet slumber. The more we feed on the word, the stronger our faith becomes. How do we know that? Because Romans 10:17 tells us, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we're talking about faith. We're talking about the God kind of faith. Does each and every one of you have that? You have the God kind of faith in you. He's the one who put it there. So it's the God kind of faith. And it calls things that be not as though they are.
Yeah.
Y'all getting me? Faith. See, it's important what we say. Amen? Because Jesus told us in Mark 11:23, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. Key thing there, doubt. You can't doubt. Okay? But believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says.
He will.
He will have whatever he says. We can have whatever we say. So why do we keep saying what we have instead of what God's word says we have? And we can have it.
That's right.
What you got to get in it to find out what you got. And then you can have it. And then you can get the faith built up. As you start building your faith up, believing for it, it will come to pass.
That's right.
Don't give up on your heart's desires. Do not give up on your heart's desires. God doesn't want you to give up. But see, a lot of us, we do that waffle thing. We can't do the waffle thing.
Yeah, that's right.
And when you make a waffle, it's got all those little divots all through it. Say, you know, we can't waffle. You know, I know it means going back and forth, but that's you can't get in, let doubt enter in. It will rob you of your desires. See, it's time to be like Bartimaeus. Remember him? He's the guy that was blind, jumped up and threw his coat off. When he ran to Jesus, Jesus said, "What can I do for you?" He said, "I want to see again, Lord." And Jesus said, "Okay." And the man could see again. And the man followed him. So we got to be like Bartimaeus. And we got to throw off our garment like he did that is trying to define us. Throw off the garment of aging, feeling, and acting old. You got to throw it off. See, it's up to you, and it's up to me. And I work hard at it. I know how old I am, and it don't stop the aging process.
That's right, Pastor.
See, because that isn't us. That isn't you or me. He said he will renew our youth like the eagles. God's word tells us when Moses died, he was 120 years old. And it says his eyes were not dim in his natural vigor. It didn't diminish. He simply went up on a mountain and went to sleep. Now, what did I say? But you know, you got to realize, he went up there and no one else was involved. God took care of the funeral service and he took care of the burial. Yeah. End of subject. Okay? But that didn't mean Moses was gone forever. Because we see he's in the Bible. He was up there on the Mount of Transfiguration, wasn't he not? Peter wanted to build him a house. He's, "Can I build you guys all a condo?" You know, there he is with Elijah and with Jesus. So Moses is still up there. When you get to heaven, you get to meet Moses. Do you think about that? You're going to meet Elijah. Most of all, you're going to meet Jesus. And he's going to take you into the throne room. And we're all going to be going, "Oh." And he's going to say, "Sing, sing, you're before the Lord." And that's what he wants you to do. Worship and sing him. Praise him. Hallelujah. Looking forward to it, but don't be in a hurry. But God has promised us 120 years. Genesis 6:3. You can check me out on that, but it's 120 years. But it's up to us on how we live to get to that 120 years. Think about it. You know, I wish I knew this years ago. I would not have done the things I did years ago. You know? I had to wait. My wife didn't pray hard enough, fast enough. I didn't get saved quick enough. No, yes, okay. All right, Adam, get out. Quit blaming it on the woman. It's your fault. Okay. But I like what Caleb had to say in Joshua 14. Joshua 14, verses 10 and 11. So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Give me my portion. Hallelujah.
Yep.
So here I am today, Uncle Frank, 97 years old. I'm still as strong today, and I'm just as vigorous as I was, and I'm ready to take on the battle. Amen, Uncle Caleb. You hear that, Uncle Frank? We know you're down there. We know you're listening. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Say, I am full of supernatural strength.
I am full of supernatural.
And supernatural energy.
And supernatural.
I am filled with the Holy Spirit.
I am filled with the Holy Spirit.
God's dunamis power is in me. Amen to that. See, you are a dynamo. Webster's defines a dynamo as a forceful, energetic individual. See, that brings to mind someone who is full of life, full of energy, and a larger-than-life personality.
Yeah.
Why I chose those words? Google it. You'll find out. Because they're powerful.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Dynamo comes from the root word for the Greek word dunamis, meaning might and strength. An antonym for might is powerless. And an antonym for strength is weakness. God is neither of them. And neither are you. You have the same power. You have the dynamis power of God in you. You are not powerless. And you are not weak. Hallelujah. No, you are mighty. And you are full of strength, energy, vitality. People who are dynamos are forceful, energetic individuals who are well able to possess the land.
Amen.
And when you possess the land is what's in the word for you. Come on, hallelujah. I'm liking this. See, you and I are a force to be reckoned with. See, when the Holy Spirit came in and lived and moved in and lived in us right now, His power is a dynamo, a generator enabling supernatural abilities with every breath. Think about that, huh? The Holy Spirit, though, comes with the anointing of God. The dynamo anointing of God is on us. You as an individual. So think about it every second, and we'll read this scripture. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, with power, who went about doing good. What did he go about doing?
Good.
And healing all. How many did he heal?
All.
That were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. We have that same Holy Spirit with that same anointing. We have an anointing for healing on us. Oh, really? Yeah. But now it's simply up to us to activate every anointing of the Holy Spirit that has been made available to us through His constant presence in our lives. The anointing and power of God produces miracles. See, it's not me that produces it. It's the power of God, and God gets the glory for the healing. Hallelujah. See, because Scripture tells us that in Acts 19, verse 11, Acts chapter 19, and this is the Passion Translation, and it says, God kept releasing a flow of extraordinary miracles through the hands of Paul. The word extraordinary is tenkano. Okay? Tenkano. T-Y-N-C-H-A-N-O. You have to look them up how to pronounce these crazy. You know, it's not crazy, but okay. And it refers to miracles that hit the mark, that are mighty, exceptional, or out of the ordinary deeds. These are miracles we reach for. Part of the definition, it speaks of anointing we become masters of. Check me out. Strong's 5177. Yeah. These are miracles we reach for. It speaks of anointing we become masters of. See, because Paul had a dynamo of Holy Spirit within. These extraordinary miracles could happen continually. See, as long as he was generating them in faith. Remember, one of the descriptions of dunamis was power for performing miracles. Every believer can operate in miracles. Now you might be thinking, hey, that wasn't on my allotment list of spiritual gifts. However, Jesus challenges with these words. All things are possible to him who believes. That's Mark 9:23. The Greek word for possible is dunata. D-U-N-A-T-A. Dunata, which means one capable, able, or competent. Also from the same root word for dunamis. How are all things, even miracles, made possible? Simply, we must believe. The Greek word for believe in this verse comes from the word pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, which means to be actively reaching forward to grab hold of something. It means to act, means an active faith. An active faith. Psalms 4:102. Just so you know, I can back all this up. Because it's not me. God was showing me things. And it's like you get so much. And you get so filled that at some point, sometimes it's like it's running over. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. And then it's like, okay, and you gotta take a breath, and then you pull it all back in. Because you want all of it, you see. Yeah, I'm like that. I want it all, and I want to get it out. That's a passion of my heart. Because the times we're in are not fun, especially when you listen to the mainstream news media. And Vicki was talking about it this morning as we were coming in there. Nobody realizes how many of the hostages have been returned. They're keeping that low key. They're not putting that on the news. And then how the one, the group went in there, and the guy with the Hamas, he actually went in and looked at the woman there and said, "He looked like my mother. He looked like my mother." And so they were all distracted with him, and he kept looking at her. Everybody that was in there got to leave because they got away, because they were distracted. And then she left. Because he kept saying, "You can't. I look like my mom. I can't do this to my mom." And everybody else escaped. God is doing miracle-working things over there. We cannot quit praying. We have not lost a battle. Israel has not lost a battle. They're the apple of his eye. They will come out victorious. They will take care of the enemy. Believe me, everybody keeps saying, "Well, you know what about?" I'm telling you what, if they didn't even have us, ain't no terrorist organization going to take Israel down. They said never, never, ever, ever again. They will not go through another Holocaust. Those are God's people. And we're aligned with God's people. So they're blessed, and we know we're going to get a blessing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when we reach forward and grab hold of a miracle for ourselves and or another, we are able to generate supernatural power and all things become possible. Our miracles will hit the mark every time. Because all things are possible to him who believes. See, Jesus challenges us this way. Okay? So you look to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Verses 17 and 18. Because we are believers, right?
Yep.
Okay. All these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons of alcoholism.
Yep.
Hallelujah. Nicotine. I was there. I know how it had a hold of my life. Until God got a hold of me. Alcoholism, yeah, I dealt with it. I had them spirits all through me. It's a wonder that she stayed with me as long as she did to get me saved. Praise God, she did. Again, all these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover.
Amen.
And it says these signs will follow believers, not just pastors, prophets, or evangelists. You getting that?
Yes, sir.
Believer, that's you.
Yes, sir.
Because you said, yeah, I'm a believer.
Come on.
Every believer can activate and generate the supernatural power of God by speaking and decreeing God's word. When you lay hands on somebody, you pray the word over them and speak life into them. Watch what happens. Watch the recovery. There is recovery. We prayed for that girl back there and she's sitting there. She's pregnant and she got attacked. But there she is sitting there, healthy and whole. And soon to have a little girl into this whole thing.
Yep.
Praise God. Coming up quick, ain't it? What is that, November? Woo! Wow. Yeah, that's going to be quick. As Amber said, time flies when you're having fun. Number two? Okay. All right. Man, I got to get out of this. I can't quit this. When God speaks, things change. And when we agree with what God's word says, we are also changed. See, we're changed for the better. One word from God can change everything. Now, in Micah chapter 2, wow, we haven't been to that one, have we? Micah chapter 2. Tim's already there. So is Joe, I know. They go click, 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 you know. They got that Bible app thing going on. Okay, Micah chapter 2, verse 13. Amplified, classic. Talking about Jesus is the breaker. And he is here. Uh-huh. Because you got to listen to this all the way through. The breaker, the Messiah, will come up before them. They will break through, pass in through the gate, and go out through it. And their king will pass on before them.
Yeah.
The Lord at their head. Now, the Message Bible says, then I, God, will burst all confinements and lead them out into the open. They'll follow their king. I will be out in front leading them.
Yes.
The word breaker in the Hebrew is paratz. Yeah, it's pronounced P-A-W-R, but it's P-A-R-A-T-S, paratz, which means to break out, to burst forth, compel, to urge, grow, increase, open, to break in pieces, to break up, to break open, to break out violently, to break off all limitations. Mm-hmm. That means that Jesus, our breaker, is here to burst through all confinements and break us out of all limitations. Limitations on finances, limitations on health, limitations on emotional health and well-being. Jesus has come to break into pieces all constrictions and to cause us instead to burst forth. This is what he died for. To break us out of the constriction and bondage of sin, sickness, and the separation from God. See, who wants to make us truly free? When limitations are broken, all unhealthy patterns from the past are shattered. Then we can grow, increase, and succeed. See, our minds will be renewed to think as the breaker Jesus thinks. And nothing is impossible. This breaker anointing is not just for personal freedom, though. It creates a vision and forward momentum for God's kingdom to advance. Jesus, the disciples, and the early church all understood the power of decreeing what God was saying and what they understood he wanted in that moment. See, it was not enough simply to hear the voice of God or sense his intended desires. They teach us that the voice of the Lord must be declared. Why do you think decreeing and making these declarations we do so important? Right there. Because God wants to break through to people over, he wants to break through to people over every force of darkness and bring forth victory in every circumstance. The word breakthrough is actually a military term, which the dictionary defines as a military movement or advance all the way through and beyond an enemy's front line defense. See, we must go through and beyond. See, the church has been doing a pretty good job of breaking through, but not as good a job as going beyond. Would you agree? See, we press in through prayer to receive a miracle, a healing or provision. And once we have broken through and receive our answer, however, breakthrough dictates that we become the breaker for others. We have pressed in and warred for our healing. Now we must become healers. We become healers. I'm getting there. It's because I got to bring it where, Holy Spirit wants to make sure that you understand that. See, we have contended also for financial breakthroughs. And now we are to extend our kingdom influence so others can break out of poverty and lack as well. Our miracle becomes the catalyst for others to experience God's supernatural power. See, we must go through so that we can go beyond. Okay, here's a great example, because you're going to understand it, I think, a bit better. And it occurred during World War II, when the Allied forces landed on the beaches of Normandy on D-Day, June 6, 1944. The enemy's line was fortified, yet through great sacrifice and strength, the soldiers stormed the beaches and broke through the front line of defense. And once the soldiers achieved victory, however, they did not stop and put down their weapons and party. Mm-mm. Why? Because their goal was never to break through, but rather to go beyond. See, there were cities and nations that were crying to be set free. There were oppressors who needed to be vanquished.
That's
right. Sound like today? Because of the breakthrough, they now had a beachhead to be the freedom force that would change the world. So it is in the church. We may be facing down an opposing force that seems fortified and fierce. However, God has anointed us for breakthrough.
Yes.
Don't be afraid. We have an anointing. You'll be able to break through. We are to contend with our hearts, our words, and our spirits to win personal victories. And then to use those miracles as platforms for which we go beyond outside the walls of our church to liberate people wherever we go. Go ye therefore. Thank you, Ted. All right. We are heaven's freedom force called to go through and beyond every frontline defense of the enemy. Breakthrough always has a sound. For example, Joshua and the walls of Jericho. God had given Joshua the declaration by which Israel would bring down the massive walls of the city. But it wasn't until the prescribed time when the trumpets blew and the army shouted with a great shout that heaven was activated to cause the walls to simply crumble. Can you imagine their voices and the walls just disintegrating and falling down? And all those that were on the walls or behind them or in the walls as they had their homes, gone. Gone. Then they had to just go in there and take the rest of the city. And they had to do it. They had to vanquish and vanquish the enemy. God says, this land doesn't belong to them. Go take it. It's yours. And they did that day. They didn't take nothing, did they? That's what they were supposed to do. You do what God tells you to do, and you will be rewarded down the line. As the trumpets blew around Jericho, the word of the Lord was being declared with those horns. As the people shouted, faith began to arise, stirring heaven to fight for Israel and do for them what they could not do for themselves. Breakthrough has a sound, and it's a large sound. You know what it is? Victory! We have victory. We have not lost this war. The war for our country is not over. As we run through, we break through the front lines that are there in the spiritual realm. We got to keep going. We can't stop when we hit one victory. We got to go from victory to victory, from glory to glory, you know, and going on through. It's a constant battle. It's a daily battle. And we will win. And we can enjoy this time. Because when you get powered up and you get praying and believing, man, you can just get all, you're going to get filled with all kind of joy.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
Come on up here, tribe.